Our God and Heavenly Father, we thank Thee for the watch care which Thou dost exercise over each one of us. We are humbled when we think that Thou dost watch over us at all times, and that our welfare is continually Thy concern. We thank Thee, we praise Thee, and we know that Thou dost do more for us than we can ask or think. Accept our thanks and our praise, and bless us now. For Thy name's sake we ask it. Amen. In our last study in the book of Matthew, we had gotten down in chapter 18 to the 10th verse. And I had just begun to speak about that. Let me speak about something more about that 10th verse in chapter 18. We read, "Take heed that you despise not one of these little ones. For I say unto you that in heaven their angels do always behold the face of my Father which is in heaven." And you will remember as we were studying this, we were pointing out that the Lord Jesus Christ has a special interest in young Christians who come to Him simply trusting in Him. And He gave a very stern warning to other people that if anybody should mislead these young Christians or in any way act that would harm them, he would take it as if it were done to him personally. He had said, "Anyone that receives one of these little ones in my name receives me." And he implies now that anyone who does them harm is doing harm to me. Take heed that you despise not one of these little ones. Don't low-rate them. Don't look down on them because they are simply trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ. Appreciate them, of such is the kingdom of heaven. And then this word, "I say unto you that in heaven their angels do always behold the face of my Father which is in heaven." The question has been asked, and just recently, following one of my radio programs, someone wrote in and asked me about this matter of guardian angels. Are there any such? Now, let me remind you of something that is true about every passage in Scripture that refers to angels. There's always more true than can be put into our language. There's always more true than we can say. Angels are never described as a class. One time they appear like this, another time they appear like that, and so on. But always they have the same function. They are the servants of the Lord. Now, just who these angels will be, I'm not going to say. But that these angels will be, I want to emphasize. And particularly this concept, as we would say, of the guardian angel. I do not know for sure that I would claim that only one angel is assigned to take care of those who belong to the Lord. That's possible. But I wouldn't put it that way so much as this. I would say that the Lord God Himself will arrange to have messengers who will watch over and take care of those who are believing in Him. Yes. And if someone were to ask me, "Do you believe in guardian angels?" Yes. Here it is. What more do you want? "In heaven their angels do always behold the face of my Father which is in heaven." Which means to say that the angels are ministering spirits whom the Father hath sent for those who are the heirs of salvation. That's the language. We may not be able to spell it out in the last detail, but you won't need to. You can just keep in mind right now, if you're a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, someone's watching over you. And with reference to other Christians, someone is watching over them. God sends messengers to take care of them, and have one thing in mind all the way through. The way we treat other Christians is very significant to the Lord Jesus Himself. And this leads us on directly to what follows, because you will see how this moves on into the very next section. In verse 11 we read, "For the Son of Man is come to save that which was lost." And then comes an incident, the parable, one of the parables of the lost sheep. Let me read it to you. "How think ye, if a man have 100 sheep, and one of them be gone astray, doth he not leave the 99, go into the mountains, and seeketh that which is gone astray? And if so be he find it, verily I say unto you, he rejoiceth more over that sheep than of the 99 which went not astray. Even so it is not the will of your Father which is in heaven that one of these little ones shall perish. You see, this parable here is put in with those little ones that you've just been reading about in this chapter. And here, the lost sheep parable seems to point directly to the wayward member of the family of God. In other words, of the member of the church. That if any one of them should have strayed away, that's the one upon for whom we should be concerned. In other words, the unity of the church, the oneness of the church, can be threatened by the vagrancy of the members. If any one member wander away, that's the concern of everybody. And especially that's the concern of those who have the mind of the Lord. The Lord is concerned about the one that wanders away. One of the little ones. You know how in our country, how often it happens, and it happens every time it happens, it's too often, even if it happened only one time. But you remember how in your own community you've had incidents like this. Some little 2-year-old, 3-year-old child wanders away from home. Everybody turns out. Dozens, hundreds of people will come. They'll search by the hour, trying to find this child that is lost. Well, the same spirit exactly should be carried over in spiritual things as from the Lord. And the Lord's attitude toward his own is exactly the same way. And you and I should have just that attitude toward young Christians and young Christians in the church. And if any of them wander away, we should have in mind that the Lord's interest is to win those back to himself. And he will, I know, be ready to bless the man or the woman who tries to win back to him those who have wandered away. Now in verses 15 to 18, we come to another kind of wandering away that isn't so much getting into the things of the world as it is a matter of losing fellowship together. This is the case of where one person fusses with another inside the church group. Moreover, if thy brother shall trespass against thee, go and tell him his fault between him and thee and him alone. If he shall hear thee, thou hast gained thy brother. Your whole interest in trying to remove the cause of contention between you and other people is actually a case of trying to save, if it is possible, trying to keep that little one, that young one, the wayward one, the vagrant one, that member of the family that wants to run away. Well, this is your brother, and he has apparently done something that would alienate him from you. Try to overcome it. But if he will not hear thee, then take with thee one or two more, that in the mouth of 2 or 3 witnesses every word may be established. Bring in some of the friends, his friends, and try to get them to get him to help him get this straightened out. And if he shall neglect to hear them, tell it unto the church. Let the whole group together. Now this does not necessarily mean a big congregation. When this word church is used here, remember that the New Testament uses the word church in the idea of a group of people who believe together. For instance, there's a certain message given to a certain man to the church that is in thine house. Just a smaller group as that. It doesn't mean 1,000 people or 100 people or 50 people or 25 people. It means as many people as you have in your fellowship together in the Lord. It can mean the larger group, but it could mean a smaller group. If he shall, when you say tell it unto the church, you mean tell it to the company that you live with. Tell it to the social group you belong to. In other words, let them share with you your concern that this alienation between you and the brother might be removed. If he neglect to hear the church, if he won't let people help him to get this straightened out, let him be unto thee as a heathen man or a public and a publican. Now, by the way, that's not as rough as it sounds. When it says, let him be unto thee as a heathen man and a publican, well, what's a heathen man to you? That's a man with pagan ideas, with wrong ideas. Well, then, what's a publican to you? That's a man with wrong conduct. Now, what are you going to do with people like that? When you say, let him be unto thee as a heathen man or a publican, do you think that means you're going to go out and shoot him? You don't shoot all unbelievers. You don't go and do any damage to people who are sinners. But one thing you do not any longer hold yourself responsible to live with them as a brother would live. In other words, you do not assume the further responsibility for maintaining a fellowship in the Lord with such a person. The procedure that we've discussed is very simple, and you can go over it again and again. If some trouble develops, and I think the better thing to do is try and let no trouble develop, but if it does develop, go and talk to the man, to the woman, to the person that's involved. If that doesn't help, take along some friends. Try every way possible to reduce the cause of contention. If that doesn't help, bring the matter before the group that you belong to, that the other person belongs to, the social group, all the friends that there are involved in this. And if that doesn't work, then drop fraternal relations, the brotherly part of it. Use this word brother in this case as one who is a fellow believer. And do not assume further responsibility to try and draw that person with you close to the Lord. You leave him with the Lord. And then we read on. Again I say unto you, that if two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything that they shall ask, it shall be done of them of my Father which is in heaven. Isn't that wonderful? That if two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything that you shall ask. But by the way, do you notice what that implies? You see, if Tom and Dick are coming to the Lord to pray for something, Tom's got some special ideas that Dick doesn't have and Dick can't agree with them. They're probably not much good. Dick has some special ideas that Tom can't agree with. Dick can leave those off. By the time Tom leaves out of his mind what Dick doesn't approve and Dick leaves out of his mind what Tom doesn't approve, the chances are that Tom and Dick got together and what the Lord would have done. So that actually united prayer is a wonderful help as you seek to approach the Lord and come closer to him. And you come together in that way seeking the blessing of the Lord. By all means, then, try and bring that person who has been wandering away back with you to the Lord that you might be able to have power in prayer. Our God and Heavenly Father, help us maintain an attitude of concern for our fellow believers. For thy name's sake, we ask it. Amen.